Let's lift our hands again and say, Dear Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, in this service, we receive a fresh flow of revelation knowledge. We believe and receive that there is no error or confusion either on our hearts or in this atmosphere. Our questions are answered, doubts are dissolved, needs are explained, and together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. In this service, is glorified as we're edified alongside the body of Christ. Amen. Matthew's Gospel chapter. We're still back on fulfilling your destiny in God. Amen. In verse 1, Matthew's Gospel. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And we said what this means is that the writer, which is the writer of the Gospel, four Gospels, wants you to read the Old Testament. Now, I've said it oftentimes. The Old Testament helps you interpret the New Testament. Why? Because the context of New Testament writings are the Old Testament books. That's the context. You cannot interpret the New Testament, the four Gospels using the epistles. Now, the epistles will be the destination of the four Gospels, but the context of the four Gospels is the fact that Jesus did not use the epistles to teach. They were not in existence. Alright? So he used the Old Testament books. That's what he used. And that's why Matthew doesn't refer to Paul. He doesn't refer to Rome. Alright? He doesn't refer to Timothy. He refers to David and Abraham. Why? Because that's the context of what he's writing about. So you need to read backwards, right? You read backwards. Why? Because the Bible of Jesus did not have, in fact, the Bible of Jesus did not have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Bible of Jesus did not have Ephesians and Romans. The Bible of Jesus only had Genesis to Revelation. So there's no way he could have been quoting Ephesians because it wasn't written. So his Bible is the law and the prophets, or call it the Old Testament. So, to interpret the things Jesus is saying, you're going to read the context of his words. Go to Matthew's Gospel 28. We'll be back there too. Matthew's Gospel 28. Let me see whether you have been following now. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority in heaven and earth is given me in heaven and earth. Alright, let's try and rephrase that. Can we rephrase it? Come on, say something with you. Can we rephrase it? So let's go. All authority is given me where? Oh, alright, you're inside. Is that a protest from Chelsea fans? Be Christian, okay? Let's go again. All authority is given me where? In the temple of God. Because heaven and earth is another name for the temple of God. So Jesus, in his resurrection, he's building the temple. God's eternal dwelling place. And we saw the consistent, we're going to come back in a moment, that this is what he's doing. Because the Bible starts with, in the beginning, God did what? Created the heavens and the earth. And we said, to create there is the word bara. Bara doesn't mean to take something out of nothing. That's not what it means. Bara means to make something fit. Many times it means to fit for a purpose. To find a purpose. Now, have you seen sometimes you have to rent a house, and I remember one of the houses that we rented years back, and the landlord said to us, this place is a spare room for your maybe housemaids and all that. Now, we didn't have a housemaid. And I said, that's what they built it for. Then I said, no. I said, use it for my study. So what I did was, I created what? A study. I found a purpose for the room. That's what I did. So, you know, it means therefore that the word create, I said the word create means to find a purpose. So in the beginning, God created, doesn't mean it came out of nothing. That means heaven and earth, which we have seen so far, is another place, or sort of, sorry, it's another definition of where God dwells. So this is the beginning, in the beginning. Now, at the end of the world, Jesus is bringing that to fulfillment. So Matthew 28:18 is fulfilling Genesis 1:1. All authority is given me in heaven and earth. He says, go ye therefore, verse 19, and teach all the better still, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. 20, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you until the end of the world. I'll still come back to that. We said the end of the world doesn't mean the world is coming to an end. The end of the world is the fulfillment of a mission. What is the mission? In the beginning, God began to create heaven and earth as his resting place. Jesus, at the end of the world, brings it to a fulfillment. Is that okay? We'll come to the end in a moment. So, that's what Matthew... Again, don't forget, the reason why we can interpret it properly is because we're reading it from the Old Testament. A good number of times we interpret things from today's experiences. I remember in 2021, I had to do a defense of the gifts of the Spirit. And I think in the room, I was the only charismatic. There was another person who was an ex-charismatic, and everybody was a scholar. And I said to them, and I discovered that much of what they were defining when it came to speaking in tongues. Everybody used to say that speaking in tongues is when you speak someone's language somewhere. And the reason why that interpretation subsists is because in the Azusa Street Revival, when tongues was re-emphasized in 1906, that was the belief system. That you are speaking Chinese in Nigeria, or you are speaking Nigerian language, Igbo language, for example. You are saying it in maybe in South Africa. And I said, but we don't find the basis of that in the scriptures. So sometimes we are interpreting Bible words not from the Bible, but from what we have accepted as what it should have been. So the phrase end of the world doesn't mean the world is coming to an end. If you stay close to the Bible, you will see it. I'm coming to it later on. Are you here? Mark's Gospel chapter 1 and verse 1. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As is written in the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight his path. Now again, look at what Mark is doing. Mark is taking us to the beginning. Don't forget, Matthew says the book of the genealogy, and that word genealogy in Matthew 1:1 means Genesis. Again, Mark says the book of the beginning, the word beginning again. So another meaning of genealogy is beginning. So which means that New Testament writers took their theology from Genesis. And then he goes to the prophets, Isaiah and Malachi. Go to Mark 16 and 15. Mark says, Jesus said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, again, don't forget, another name for all the world is what? Oh, Jesus. End of the world. Is that okay? Uttermost parts of the earth, end of the world. So, the word go into all the world is the same word, end of the world, or uttermost parts of the earth. And preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons, as were devils there. They shall speak with new tongues. In verse 18, they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, they shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they, the sick, shall recover. 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth everywhere. And the Lord walking with and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. The word amen is God's name. It means faithful, trustworthy. He will fulfill what he says. So Jesus is talking about all of the world, same word as ends of the earth or the end of the world. In Luke's Gospel chapter 1 in verse 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth not a declaration of those things which are most assuredly believed among us, Luke 1:1, verse 2 says, even as they delivered them to us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. Seem good to me also, verse 3, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, right unto thee, in order, most excellent Theophilus. Now we said this before, that this means that his audience is just one person. It's a letter, or it's a synoptic written to one person. And it's the beginning of the book of Acts. You see, the opening of the book of Acts and Luke are very similar. So, sometimes to understand what is in the book of Acts, many times actually, read the book of Luke. So Luke is A, Acts of the Apostles is B. So look at Luke 24. Luke 24, I'm going to read to you verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, you're not opening your Bible, please do, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Let's read 27 together. Let's go, church. And beginning, I wait for you, let's go again. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things. You say, beginning at Romans, 1 Corinthians. No. Jesus' Bible did not contain the epistles. So you can't use the epistles to interpret what he's saying. You can use the epistles to know the destination, the fulfillment of what he's saying. But to interpret the meaning, you stick to the law and the prophets. Look at verse 44. Are you in church? Are you in church, guys? Let's go, 44. And he said to them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written where? In the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. 45, let's go. Then open he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. So the Bible of Jesus is the law of Moses, or was the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. So again, Luke asks us to read backwards to understand what Jesus is teaching. John's Gospel chapter 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now you see that consistently, all the writers talk about the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And I told you that the word Word there is the word Word of the Lord. Word of the Lord. Word of the Lord. Not a speech. Word of the Lord is the visible manifestation of God in the Old Testament, where he appeared to Abraham in Genesis 15 verse 1 and 2, and he appeared to Abraham and Abraham could see him. He appeared to Samuel and Samuel could look at him like this. He appeared to Adam and Eve and they could see him like this. And that word of the Lord now became a human being. So Jesus was visibly present in the Old Testament. It wasn't visible for the first time in the New Testament. No, he was human for the first time. To be visible doesn't mean you are human. But when you are human, you are visible. That means we can see you. But it is not every being you can see that is human. So Jesus became human in the womb of Mary. But he was not, he didn't start living in the book of, in the womb of Mary, pardon me. You see him visible in the Old Testament. John's Gospel 20. You in church? And I'm reading verse 22. I'll start from 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now that word, breathe on them, is only used for God in the Old Testament. Now, if you take it in the Greek rendering of the Old Testament, I said that to us many times, is the word enphusao. It's similar, actually, to what you see in Genesis 2:7. When it says, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. Then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That word breathe into his nostrils is the word enphusao. It's spelled E-M-P-H-U-S-A-O. It means to cause life to come into an object. So, what is John doing here? John is identifying Jesus as God. Now go to John 5 and quickly. You in church? Come on guys, are you in church? John 5. Jesus said to them here, he says, and verse 39. And I told you before, the Old Testament is not a book of the prophecies of Jesus. No, it's not. Search the scriptures, he says in 39, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. He didn't say they are they which prophesy of me. That should be corrected. It's usually assumed that the Bible, the Old Testament prophesies about Jesus, which is true. But that's not what he's saying here. Testify of me means you are going to see me there. So, Jesus didn't start existing or start being amongst men when he became a human being. No, he's always been there. Verse 40, you will not come to me that you may have life. Now, someone asked me a question. He said, is this a theophany? Now, what do they call a theophany? A theophany is meant to be an appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament. Where he comes and disappears. Bam, he comes and disappears. I said, no. It's not a theophany. Jesus was visible. When you read about the Lord God that Moses spoke about, that Abraham spoke about, that Isaac spoke about, that Adam knew, Noah spoke about, that's Jesus. So it's not appearances. You know, have special guest appearance. Jesus acting as Lily of the Valley. Nope. He is the Lord God. He is. Says, they testify of me. Now, look at verse 45. Excuse me. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. Verse 45. There's one which accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, Jesus says here, you would have believed me. Why? For he wrote of me. He wrote of me. Then he says, if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Now, I'm going to say it again. Moses rarely prophesied about a coming Christ that would die for our sins. He really did it. He did in snippets. But if Jesus is saying that Moses, a whole lot, if I use that, testifies of me. He spoke of me. He wrote about me. Then it means that Jesus wasn't a mere prophecy in the mouth of Moses. He was right there with him. You know, do you remember that when Joshua was to take over from Moses, Joshua 1:6, he says, as I was with Moses, I am with you. I will be with you. That's Jesus. I will be with you. I will be with you. So when he says to the disciples, lo, I am with you always, they knew that's the voice of the same one who spoke to Joshua. Because you know, Joshua in Joshua 5:13, he saw God who appeared to Moses. He said, please, who are you? Are you for us? Or are you against us? Then the one who appeared to him said, I am the captain of the host. When he heard that, he said, oh God. He said, take off your shoes. He knew that's the one who appeared to Moses in Mount Horeb. Say, I am with you. As I was with Moses, I am with you. Hallelujah. That is Jesus. So, Jesus is not a creation in the four Gospels. No. His humanity is what we find in the four Gospels. So, in other words, he's saying here, Moses wrote of me. So, now let's pay attention to this. So in Matthew 28:20, go back there quickly. You in church? Come on, guys, are you in church? See them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always unto the end. Now, when we say the end of the world, it has two things in mind. I've explained it to you. The end of this space. Also, the end of the activities, the fulfillment, to fill up a place. Now go to Joshua 1. Joshua chapter 1. And I'm going to read verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, came to pass that the Lord spake to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, my servant Moses is dead. Now therefore arise, go over to Jordan, thou and all his people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now pay attention now. An alarm should ring immediately. Is this like the Great Commission? Huh? Come on. Unto the land I give you. Is it like the Great Commission? Now look at the next statement. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread on, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and Lebanon unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all days of your life. Let's take the other part. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And I will not fail you, nor forsake you. Be strong and be of good courage. For unto these people shall I divide unto an inheritance of the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. That is the Great Commission. In a cryptic way, I've given you this land to establish the worship of Yahweh. I will be with you until the end of the task. The same thing he repeats to the 12, the 70, the 120. I will be with you until the end of the world. Go into all the world. So if you define the word end of the world, therefore, end of the world is not when the world is coming to an end. And I told you, that stuff is bad theology. Real bad theology. To assume that God has a plan for the earth such that the earth will just go come to an end, boo, 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 boo. And then, then somehow we have the doctrine of Jesus showing up in the skies and grabbing Christians wherever they are found, and all that. Just about the time Chelsea striker wants to score, then he takes him away. Something like that. You know, none is left behind. You know, we have that theory, that really funny theory of people being left behind. And I remember a birthday I had. I must have said this before over and over again. 1995. So I asked this brother to share on my birthday, May 11, 1995. I didn't know. That's why it's good to ask people, what do you want to share? I recall we had a camp meeting in 98, and my friends were the preacher. I said, guys, please submit your teaching notes. That's all. It's, why? I said, no. Nobody's come and preach as I'm led here. So I said, come and share with us, brother. So he got up. And immediately as he got up, you know, as we say, he began to frank his face. Brethren, to share on a birthday. And my birthday, for example. Say, brethren, what are you doing about the coming of the Lord? After we had served jollof rice. And people were just pretending. After all that preaching, they see it. It was the food that raptured. He said, the coming of the Lord. And I was doing like this. I remember his leg was shaking like this. He's my friend, so he's not going to have a problem. He used to be my disciple. Go go and produce that kind of disciple. He's like, he was shaking his leg like this. He said, brethren, he said, somebody, and he's always somebody died. So somebody died, and then he woke up. And those stories are so fantabulous. You know, people have a lot of good stories. I was telling someone, I said, with this New Naira note crunch. How come the miracle money people are not producing it? They are waiting for the thing to circulate first. It has to circulate. Then when it circulates, then they will find it. You know, years ago, I found such money in my pocket. It was a 50-50 Naira note. 1995 or so. So as I found the money. And I had we had a program a couple of months before. And people came out to testify. They came to testify and said, brethren, after years, because we had a miracle service on the Friday. So they said, I saw money. Someone said, I just woke up and I put on, it was a campus. He said, I put rice on fire and I slept off. He said, the rice was well cooked. It didn't burn and it went up. And that was a testimony. And we were, woo! Everybody go, yeah! So like three people showed up and said, I found money in my pocket. Someone said, I found money. I said, yeah. I really felt like a G. And I told someone, I said, you know, there's something God is adding to our ministry now. We are now, people are now finding money in their pockets. Yeah, that's. And when I was in, I had the money in my pocket, but it's fine. So then I took the money. I saw the money in my pocket because I was living with my cousin. So I went to the fellowship. I said, guys, you know, this thing is just increasing. This thing is just increasing. I said, so Naira notes. So, I said it. 2 weeks after, my cousin now called me. He looks up to me. He still does. Thank God. So he said, I heard your testimony. it's just this new anointing that I have. He said, did you even ask anybody in the house? He said, many of us are living in this house. You now saw money in your pocket. You know, I felt like the ground should open up as well. but I'm always grateful to him that he didn't spill it at the fellowship. So he said, it was my money. Hi. I said, thank you. Thank you. And I've spent it. I said, can I? He said, no. I said, thank you, it is. You know, is it possible for people to send you money without you asking them? Oh my God, I want that to happen now. That happens. I've seen people just say, I'm just led, I just said, but you know that the sender will now be Angelus Trescia. So who sent it? An angel from heaven. Where did he get it from? One time like that, I saw some money in my account. 1.57 million naira. It was 2010. Diamond Bank was my bank. Still my bank. It's now Access Bank. Still my bank. I'm not trying to patronize. So I saw the money. And the truth about that money was, I saw 1.57 million naira. A lot in my bank account. And then the balance was 1.575 million in my account. The balance was now 1.576. You didn't get what I'm talking about here. Miracle Walker. You have the... And I saw the money, I said... And then... So I called my banker. Lady. I said, I'll tell you the truth that it didn't come from my heart like that. But I had to do it. I said, I just found some money. He said, which money? She now checked the system. She said, there's no record that any money was transferred to you. I said, auntie. I said, I have the money in my account. Don't tell me you want the temptation I already have. I'm too tempted for this new temptation. Don't try it. Don't you know the former balance and the new balance? You think it's not balancing? She said, let me check. I said, don't check. Who should I send it back to? If you check, I'll change my mind. Then she told me. So when I went to bank, my branch was at Apapa. She said, we might not find out till a whole year. And usually, someone will be punished for it. Just take your money and go. But I return. You know, you don't call that a miracle. That's an error. Someone loses job over your testimony. Abba. Jesus said, if you find your neighbor's donkey straying, don't say, He said, take it back and look for the owner. If I were younger, our parents would tell you, if you find money on the floor and you take it, So they will say you can disappear. So I want to take it. You speak on it. I'm not disappearing. So, in that Christianity without integrity. If you work in an organization, and they give you 100,000 as petty cash. And you spend 99,000. Don't say it's just 1,000. Retire the 1,000. Return it. Don't say it's just 1,000. That is how it will be. It's just 100,000. It's just 1,000,000. So you still hold human beings. See, I have integrity. I have integrity. Praise the Lord. So sometimes we have theology and it's wrong. So the world is coming to end, people will now disappear. So that brother came and said, I was talking about my birthday. And then he said, somebody died. Somebody is always dying. And he came back and said, as he came back, everybody, of course, somebody that came back, I don't know, that's what he said. The person came back and said, I just came back from heaven. Who told you that's where you went to? You that you died. Would you tell you where you went? Then he came back. And then he saw Jesus. He said Jesus. And Jesus told him that. He had wanted to come. Twice. But he came twice. That as soon as he got to that ocean. Why are you laughing? Or as he got to the airport of the world and said, they are not ready. They are still following Chelsea. But as soon as he saw it, he said, then he came twice. I was already boiling. You know, on your birthday, you are boiling. They are boiling rice already, you are also boiling. I was boiling and say, You know, he said, the one that now finished the whole thing, said Jesus said that he's coming again, whether the church is ready or not. That you just do like this. Oh yeah, let's go. Whether you are ready or not. Then I wasn't as born again as today. I will correct it immediately. So he now started singing one song. I just tapped him. Go and sit down. We asked you to come and just eat with us. You collected our spoon. Is it your birthday? I just stood there and said, please don't believe anybody that died and came back. Did the person rise again? Don't know whether the person fainted. I said, Jesus is not coming in March or anything. Okay? And I opened scriptures. Brother was there. He was boiling too. After boiling, he ate the rice. I said, everybody focus on the jollof rice. Rubbish. People preach all kind of stuff. They scare. I was sharing this in a church meeting last Sunday. We must know, as believers, how to put the word of God above visions and revelations. And that thing can be, you can be so emotional. Somebody walks up to you and begins to say something. I'll just be laughing at you. I was in one conference. So because I was preaching about my traveling, someone now came up and said, you know, and the person just found out that he wants to prophesy. And he said, the Lord said I should tell you that you should not travel for the next 3 months. Me. I said, hey. It was in a vigil. The Lord said, you should not, that me, I will now stay in Ibadan for 3 months. They will now ask me, why have you not come to Lagos? The Lord said, I should not come. So I waited for 5 a.m. I didn't have any plan that day to go to Lagos. My plan was to go to Lagos on a Monday, it was a Friday. I just came to Lagos. I got to HUD. And I went back to Ibadan. God punish you. Not the guy. The spirit, the useless spirit. Me. You want to hold me under, say, I'm just seeing what I'm seeing. There was one guy that told me, I'm seeing. I said, if you see nonsense, say, no, I perceive better. Don't come and, you think I got born again last week? See, that's how someone, he was in a Holy Ghost meeting, so he saw a fellow whose hairstyle was somehow, so he felt he wasn't born again. The hairstyle was somehow, not a bad hairstyle, but it wasn't, so he said, the Lord is saying to you, it's time to give your heart to Christ. It's time. The Lord is, the guy looked at him. He said, I don't understand you. He said, yes. Now is the time to dedicate yourself. He said, I'm a pastor. There was one time a woman came to sing in a church. I used to be a youth leader. I wasn't in that service, but I was told. So the woman sang very well. And she very pretty woman, because I know her, but I wasn't in that service. She sang so well, gave a special number. And this brother went to meet her. She said she was just singing. And this brother is always appearing, like, he took over from Aaron. Holy MC. So he went to meet her, I said, and he was blanking his face. You know, as we were ministering, I just saw you that. I wasn't even thinking about marriage. I didn't even know I was ever going to marry. The Lord said that your wife is in this service. I said, this service? Said the Lord, said, eh, this service? The Lord said, so I said, Lord, have your way. So as you were singing, the Lord said, that is she. The woman said, okay. She said, so, this is not, she said, look, this is not me. This is not me. It's not me at all. But the woman said, no problem. Lady said, no problem. So she went to the pastor of the church, and said, Reverend, please, can you introduce me to him? Oh, you are Reverend Mrs. So-so-so. So how many children do I have? I said, 5. The woman said, are you ready? Some guys are just, when you see a fine girl, and you have gone from the deliverance part of the body of Christ, just, you have a covenant. To who? There's one sister like that, long hair. They said she should cut it. The thing started growing. She was now taking me around deliverance theaters. So, when I called, a daughter called me filled with the Holy Ghost, she said, I can never refuse you. I said, why? I said, because they say there's a spirit in my life. I said, what? That spirit is why my hair is long. I said, who said that? It was in the 90s. I said, who said that? He said, he's a man of God. So, I said, don't mind the man. He likes you. How did we get here? End of the world. So you can why am I saying all of this? So that you can be well grounded in the Word of God. You should be. No vision should capture you. And then you can't look at the Word of God. What is in the Word of God? What's there? So a church that teaches you the Word of God, take it seriously. Seriously. One thing I like about Kenneth Hagin, Brother Hagin, he will say, what does the Word say? Let's read it. Let's interpret it. Let's rightly divide it. Brother Hagin. So, the concept of the end of the world, many times people cannot substantiate it from Bible teaching. So they go into different visions, different stories, upon stories, upon stories, upon stories. That's what they go into. Because when they look into the Word of God, they don't find all those theories there. Are you in church? We said, end of the world is the fulfillment of the foundation of the world. Remember that? That is the fulfillment. Because the Bible story is a home story. When God laid the foundation of his home in Genesis, he will fulfill it through Jesus in his resurrection. Is that okay? Is that okay, church? That is what end of the world means. So end of the world is not the next time we see a problem in the world or something, a disaster. The world is coming to an end. The way the world is coming to an end is for the whole earth to be filled with the glory of the Lord, or the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters covers the sea. Are you in church? Look at Matthew 19. Thanks be unto God. I said, thanks be unto God. That's how we were. I don't know why I'm sharing some of these stories with you. There was one sister like that, that a brother told me, no, he told us that she has evil spirits. Why? Because we believe then that if you see a sister in your dream, she is sent to you. We call them something from Satan. So all of us, so there was now, I will shield the identity. We're not praying for the brother. I say, because what he saw in his dream, he said, in Jesus' name, every false appearance, do you know that they are now married? Why won't you see her in your dream? You like her. They are not married though. So, all our deliverance. So later on, one of us said, he says, that sister that I was also eyeing. You know, we are not doing deliverance. So even minus me. All the deliverers were hiring the sister. If your hair is too long, you are mami water. If you are too yellow, you are Asmodeus. If you are too black, Inkubus and Sukubus, you don't know that one? Spirit husband. So they say I have spirit husband. What should you have had? Angel husband. That's spirit husband. I see myself wearing a wedding gown in the dream. I said, I'm going and buy it now. So sometimes we mystify things. They are eating in the dream. I ate in the dream today. The one they served me, I didn't finish it. So I had to finish it. I just thought I was eating it with bread. They gave me yam and egg. That's what I ate. So I didn't finish it. So by the time I slept, they now replaced the yam with the bread. So pray for your pastor. Destiny snatchers. Have you been praying? Because by the time you change yam into bread. Thank God for His word. Hallelujah. Thank God for His word. One day I saw, it was somewhere by Chelsea. I said, Jesus, every host of hell, come here now. And God has been faithful. Matthew 19. So you have a destiny in God, and I fulfill it. So we said there's a destiny in the world, there's a destiny in God. Never say whatever will be. Christians don't talk like that. Don't say if it happens, it means it's the will of God. If it's not happening, we know the mind of God. Say, I know the mind of God. Say it again, say, I know the mind of God. Hallelujah. I know the will of God. People think that, well, you know, if things happen, if they don't happen, that's God. And I ask them, then why do you pray? Why do we pray? Why do we even preach? Why don't I say, well, if it's the will of God, the guy will be born again, and I will preach? No, no, no. That's the, and I agree with Reverend Andrew Womack, a great teacher of the Word of God, who often says that he thinks that one of the most dangerous doctrines in the body of Christ is something called the sovereignty of God. Now, I believe in the sovereignty of God. We have a book like that. But maybe not like some people think. They think the sovereignty of God is that no matter what, God just imposes Himself on you. That's what God does. And many people have a wrong theology about God. That He will just impose Himself on you. There's nothing you can do about it. We sing songs like, what's that song? Kabiosi. Kabiosi in Yoruba means someone that we cannot question. I agree we can't question God in the sense that His word is, you know, His word is, you can't fault His word. But we can ask Him questions. Hallelujah. Are you there? And you don't say, well, whatever he says, if God can say yes, nobody can say no. That is not praise worship. That's a song for dictators. If God can say yes, nobody can say no. Say yes, nobody can. And God says, yes, 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 I can never say no. You know you are lying. You know you are lying. Okay, let me tell you now. What God is saying now is that we'll be in this service till 7 p.m. Some of you will say no from your heart. Eh? If God can say yes, nobody can say no. That is not praise worship. Some people are worshiping idols of their village. Just changing the name. Nobody can say no. Say yes, nobody can say no. Say yes. And I was just looking at you like this. Eve is saying, shh. Abraham is looking at you and saying, they play. Peter is looking at you and saying, shall you do what I mean? You can't find that in the world. Nobody can say no. It's not true. Don't say whatever will be. Find out the will of God. Is that okay?
Yes,
find out God's plan. Find out His will. That's why, you know, when we had the lockdown and the COVID crisis, someone told me, he said, well,
God knew, because we're talking about the local church, the physical church. So I said, God knew that this was going to happen. That's why he prepared us ahead of time to have online services. So I was looking at people. Says now church has gone new normal. And I said, no. You are preaching COVID theology. That's what you are preaching. So people are having Zoom churches. Today, many of those who proposed it are regretting it. Because we are breeding non-committed Christians. And I told the leaders in church, I won't do one single Zoom service with you. Service 3 years. Now so we're going to be. We'll be doing cell meetings, 2 or 3. We'll gather in his name. Whether it's under the tree. I said, we will not defy the word of God because of situation. I won't change my theology. Because many people submitted to COVID unknowingly. They said, you know, it means that we can meet online. What does it even mean? We can meet online. You have just changed scriptures. For the word became a tweet. The word became flesh. Hallelujah. If God, who was with Israel, visibly, could become a human being you can interact with, what does that tell you? You think Jesus in Israel, that was his first time in Israel? No, he's always been in Israel. But what was the end of the world? He became a human being. Someone you can interact with. And I said, we're going to change it. And we could have taken advantage of it because we had a very good growing, by the grace of God, a growing following online. We had people who wanted that to happen. In fact, every time we have special meetings, the people who watch our meetings always increase. But I said no. And I gave a few reasons. I said one of them is, number one, it's not our theology. Number two, we're going to breed Christians who are not committed to the church. Said number three, there are a lot of younger ministers who look up to us as a church. And they tell their members that they are looking up to me as their as a mentor. Now, if I come on air on a Sunday and their members will watch me, they will want to watch me, I said, that might affect their churches. And I said, I can't do it. Praise the Lord. I can't do that. So, because at some point, and I'm saying to you, there are some things that are temporary. They must never be made permanent. You could find yourself in a place, for example, where there's persecution against the church. And because of that, you have to use the phone to reach people. But that is not the best of God. Are you here? Are you following what I'm saying here? We'll get to that. Matthew 19. Verse 3. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning, excuse me, made them male and female? And he said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and cleave to his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Now I told you that this is not a marital vow. Now go to Genesis 1:26-28. Are you here? Because people use it on the marriage altar. That's it called. They say, what God has joined together, let no man. I think it's after they say, is there anybody here who is against this union? Now, it's actually a legal requirement. But I always tell pastors, except you are licensed by the court, that part of the service is not necessary. Am I right? That is for the court registry. And if people have already had their court registry, and they have done that, there's no reason the pastor should repeat it anymore. If anybody has it, when I used to conduct services, like I won't do it. Then the bride is already shaking. And sometimes, some of those guys will take long. Say now, or remain quiet forever. The bride is looking, and the groom is doing. What kind of tension is that? So they say, hallelujah. Like, whatever God has joined together, let no man put asunder. That is not what Jesus was talking about. Jesus was not conducting a wedding ceremony. Where did God join together? Are you here? Verse 26. Genesis 1. Is that the beginning? Right? And we said, this is the foundation of the world, right? Where we see the plan or virtual reality. Is that it? I used your name in one service last week. Virtual reality, the foundation. So look at it now. Let's go. God said, let's go again. Let us make, hold on now. That man is not male. My Septuagint Bible, the Lexham Septuagint Bible, which is the Greek of the Old Testament, I'm going to read it to you. Are you there? Okay? It says in verse 26, let us make humankind. So, change it in your Bible. Who has that in his Bible? Mankind. Yeah, is that what you have? Hey brother, is that what you have? You have man. King James, right? Who has another translation here? Okay, what do you have? Mankind. That's the right word. Let us make mankind. Not the male gender. Let us make mankind, humankind, according to our image, according to our likeness. Let them, can you see them? Now them refers to more than one. So, in purpose and function, male and female have the same purpose. Which shows you that marriage does not define you. Marriage is secondary to God's plan for your life. Anything that your gender, right, defines is a secondary purpose. Because there are a lot of people that getting married, it's good to get married, Bible says it's good. But getting married seems to be for them, some people will tell you that there's a blessing in marriage. Some of those very mythical statements. Or they say, go and settle down. Is your life chaotic? Go and settle down. Or something like, what are you doing with your life? What are you doing with your life? Now, this should not be interpreted to mean the desire to marry is unserious. No, it's good. It's of God. But it's secondary. It's not primary. But it's of God. Watch this. Let us make humankind according to our image of the likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, birds of the heavens, and the livestock, and all the earth, and all the creeping things that creep upon the earth. Let's take 27 together. God made. Now that man is humankind. He made him according to the image of God. He made them male and female. Let's take 28 together. And he blessed. So hold on. So, in the image of God, male and female are what? Joined together. Now, is this a marital statement? No. Where God joined male and female together is in his image. To carry out his task in the earth. So, hear me. There is nothing that God destined a man to do that he hasn't destined the woman to do outside of marriage. There's nothing. There is no function. So if you see yourself, you're a male and you have all the manly, you know, features. Right? It doesn't define who you are. Or the female features, no. The female features and the male features are for procreation alone. Not more. The image of God is a spiritual function that has nothing to do with your biological makeup. Are you following what I'm saying? In the image of God, do we have him or them? Huh? Them. So where did God join together? In his image after his likeness. So Genesis 1:26. In the beginning, God made male and female in his image. That's why I showed you that when Adam had a vision and he saw a rib, and see me, I'm already pointing to this place. Can you imagine? Homo, religion is terrible. I was about to collect it and say God told man to take it as if it was God Almighty. Rib is not. Rib is the Hebrew word selah, is a side of a house. Because in the temple of God, male and female are a pair of his house. So, when Adam saw Eve, Genesis 24, look at this. Look at 23. Genesis 1, Genesis 2. Adam said, this is the bone of my bones, the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was what? Huh? Hold on. I'll show you now. She shall be called woman. She was taken out of. Now, is that out of the male or out of mankind? Mankind. She's a pair of mankind. So look at the next verse. Therefore, what God, therefore shall a man leave, therefore what? Therefore is to explain a prior statement. So therefore what? Because male and female are the same in the image of God, shall a man leave father and mother and cleave to his wife. And it shall become one flesh. So Jesus says, look at Matthew 19. Learning something? Are you learning something? Verse 6. Wherefore, there are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. So you mustn't define your life. Now, you know, I'm a woman now. We women, keep quiet. Yes, you do have hormones that are of God for reprocreational purposes. It comes with romance, affection, no doubt. But you see, they are secondary. You don't define your life that way. You define your life in the image of God. Hallelujah. In the likeness of God. That's what you do. So, if you are married to a Christian woman, a Christian man, the way you see one another, primarily, is this man and this brother or this sister, this man, this woman, has a function in the earth. She's supposed to reign, replenish the earth, right? She's supposed to fulfill the work of the gospel. And I'm so privileged to be married to her. Are you here? Because in the image of God, you are co-heirs. Look at 1 Peter 3. Someone in church? Don't let your culture. Now, I have a teaching I'm going to teach later in the year. How good is my culture? That's the title. Amen? Don't let your culture think for you.
Is that clear? Let the Bible do it. 1 Peter 3. Look at verse 7. You church? Let's go. Likewise, you husbands. Let's go again. Let's go. Likewise, you husbands. Now, hold on. You know, really, if you are not a husband, it's not writing to you. Right? Or is it because you are a man, you are a husband? No. Don't think you are a man there, you are talking about a husband. But even when you are yet a husband, right, learn what it means to be a husband from the Word of God. So you ask yourself, am I ready to be a Bible husband? You know, you can want to be a Yoruba husband, not a Bible husband. You can want to be an Hausa husband and not a Bible husband. And all those things they will do when you are having the customary court wedding, and then they will take cap, and you sit down, and then the woman will be dancing and dancing and dancing. Then she now kneel down and put the cap on your head. You see, you do like this. She made first class. She made tutu. The same course. Amen. Up of Jesus. And the sisters are laughing. You are laughing. Sisters laugh specially. The guys frown a bit. And then some of you look across the hall and say, he's not talking to you. They put the guy and say, we are feeding your husband. You knew now. You are feeling yourself. Tell me she will do it again. Look where you are. When last did that happen? Now say, only I'm waiting. How about you are fasting? you don't allow the culture to think for you. Is that okay? Well, God has joined again. Let no man put us on. So learn to be a husband. There was a fellow like that. They were dating, as we call it. Calendar. The lady was living in the first floor of the building, and she said, "And call her name. I'm talking about you. Ah, you are not married." I said, "Ah, tell me about you." And I was watching them. They were not married, though. She came and said, "I'm sorry." Then he said, "See, I don't like this. So you get me, I'm not too much." And then now said that one is beating women. I said, "What?" And the man is a pastor. I said, "Ah." And he was saying it authoritatively. "I will beat you. Beat you." Now, if Arsenal says that to Chelsea, that's biblical. But when you start saying that, "Don't we beat you?" "We beat you." Whatever we agree. Amen. I just asked, look up. Stop pretending. Even if you are wearing green, doesn't mean you are a true Nigerian. You are a Chelsea devil. Enemy of my progress. Do you know, and he was saying it like that. I'm the head of this house. And the head, if you have to say it, that's a confession of it. You know, I'm the head of this house. Then I will tap my foot down. You know, my foot down. What's wrong with your foot? You watch movies. And I'll behave in somehow. Say, "Hey, brother, in a church, not our own, by the grace of God." Said, I heard he told the wife, "I must not come back and meet your things in this house." So they came to see me. I was laughing. I said, "Brother, how did you say it?" "Sir, the way she spoke to me, I must not come back and meet your things in this house." Hey, I started moving like, and you are speaking in tongues. "I must not come back and meet your things in this house." I said, "What things?" "So you expect your wife to go into her bedroom and be folding her clothes? And you think
Jesus has not removed your name from the book of life. People don't attend. Sister Mary, where are you going? You say you must not see my things in this house. Where did you get that from? Sir, she's frustrating me. She's frustrating me. Those are frustrating in your office. Don't you pray about it. Huh? One guy like that. I tell people who are married here, don't let them say it publicly because you will be scolding me. You touch your wife. The scriptures I know is for we wrestle. Why are you laughing? The weapons of our warfare stop. Don't do it. It's only a weak man that does it. If you want to fight, you see all those bus conductors. What do you do? Just be saying, they've spied this Lagos. You don't know how you do. Do you like this? No. I mean, I don't know. The next thing you see is your PCL coordinator. Lay hands on you. Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. All the good rubbish. What are you talking about? So my mind is renewed. Don't say something in your office like, yeah, see how she's talking to me. He said, what's it? He's a woman. You know, people are like, yes, can a woman be talking like that? There was one guy like that. I was so surprised. A woman was arguing with him. He now responded. It's simple argument on parking space. He said, is that how you talk to your husband at home? I said, eh? Husband at home, parking space. A born again, finished feed, demon casting, heaven bound Christian. I said, What did you just say? Husband at home, in the car park. Answer her question. So it's husband at home. What is your husband's husband? I said, I'm just thinking that, if she asked my kind at home, what's your kind? Sure. What's your kind? Eh? You made everything after his own kind. What's your kind? What you have is an unrenewed mind. So when they asked Jesus a question about marriage, he went to identity. Who do you think she is? Who do you think you are? She's not a chattel that you are disposing of. She's in the image of God. Hallelujah. As you are in the image of God. Look at 1 Peter 3, we're there. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Let's go. Giving honor to the wife as unto a weaker vessel. Now, weaker vessel is used for marriage because the woman in authority, right, is to submit to the man. It's not weaker vessel as to strength. You know, there's some. There was one time like that in Ibadan. We were going from, Apata to somewhere in Ibadan. So these two guys, they were, you know, mishandling a lady at the back seat. The lady said, I'm wrong with you. They now got down at Dubai. You know Dubai. Hey. They now pushed her. They didn't know she was a karate. That day I saw a movie. You know when you use one person to beat the other person? You don't know what that is. You use this one as the cane. Put big the two of them on the floor. One elderly woman who was passing, she said in Yoruba, I said, He will not, she will beat you up. You get what? So you're talking on the floor. She held one like this. I said, hey. Me said, if I just move quickly, so weakness is not strength, though. No, my sister's here today. If we are having prayer meeting, and they hold your hand, and they have a burden of prayer, and say, ah! This is not the burden. If they hold your hand, say, it's Jesus! So don't interpret it wrongly. Is that okay? Are you in church? 1 Peter 3. Say, I follow God's plan. As on the weaker vessel, let's say, as being what? Heirs together of the grace of life. Say, we are heirs together. That's what we are. Whatever God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Matthew 19. Are you learning something? Now, when Jesus now said that, that Pharisee now answered. So then, said to him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement to put her away? Now, that's very dishonest because Jesus goes to Genesis. They went to Deuteronomy. You know, that's been mischievous. You are deliberately starting the Bible from the fifth book and you skip four other books. Because between Genesis and Deuteronomy, we have a lot of things in there. Many of them, things that God permitted that he did not commission. Which we now call the Old Testament. So, they said, but it's in the Bible. Because something is in the Bible, and that God himself got involved, doesn't mean it is his will. There are things that are not his best. So I go for God's best. I don't think I heard you well. Did I show you the last time how he told Israel, I will be with you? And it was the angel that, can you remember? But when they sinned, he said, I will send an angel. They knew that was not him. He said, God, don't do that. Don't give us plan B. Don't give us second option. We want your presence to go with us. Don't settle for less. Say, I don't settle for less. Say, as long as it's of God, you know, as long as it is God, as long as some folks, for example, they will leave their country. They will japa, as we call it now. They will go out. And you ask them, what about the church? What about, they say, I will just find a church, as long as they preach Jesus, sir. As long as they, ha! But they know in their hearts, that's not God's best. They say, what is just, what matters is, someone told me, say, anywhere I get to, I'll just be doing ministry. So I said to her, are you sure that's how to talk? I said, is it God's plan for your life? No, but I've already gotten the visa now. Then that was a lottery. The visa lottery. Played the lottery, I've won. And you know, people have said, so what shall I do? Did you pray before you played it? You played it, you've now won. You say you are praying. It will be yes. You now go and meet the pastor. Pastor, I didn't know. What do I do? You want the pastor to say no? I'll call him a witch. A man witch. No. We don't do that. As believers, we pray first. Dr. Fred Price will say that God will not put his blessing on your plans. He has blessed his own plans. He wants you to walk in it. You have to be careful of things that are trending. Because it is trending doesn't mean God made it trend. Are you here? This boy is in the Bible. Doesn't mean it's God's will. There are things that God permitted. They are not his best. He permitted them. He said Moses, because of the hardness of his heart. And listen, in scriptures, the things he often permits are the things that men were already doing. They are modus operandi. That's why I tell you, never allow God to leave you to yourself. And he'll be talking to you. Don't think that when you are doing what you want to do, God will say, I'm not playing with you again. No, he'll be right there with you. He'll be right there with you, and you are not in his will. Remember when he asked Israel? You know, he chose Saul for them. He anointed Saul. He gave Saul his spirit, and Saul was not his choice. The fact that God is talking to you does not mean you are in his will. God does not keep malice. Eh? Ask you not to support Chelsea, you are supporting Chelsea. I said you must not be a red devil. Those that are praying today, they should beat Newcastle. God will never make it happen. I say it. Newcastle. Is there any Bible thing about Castle? Yes. Red devil. How can a Christian say I'm a red devil? A born again child of God. Do you know? And we feel because God is talking to us. Hey, after all, I've been fellowshipping with God. After all, I got healed. After all, I got... That doesn't mean you are in his will. When Israel was in disobedience, God gave them miracles. The proof of the will of God is not success. No. The proof of the will of God is that it is the will of God. But in the Bible, look at verse 7, verse 8. He said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. Are you there? But from where? Huh? What's the beginning again? Change it. The plan. That was not the plan. That was not the plan. That was not the plan. You know, years ago, I got an offer to preach in Southern African countries. And they told me then, because I had this group of ministers that I was preaching for. So when I got the invitation, the way it came was marvelous. I had not even renewed my passport. They got me a diplomatic passport. It was so lovely. They said, we need you now. We need you now. Everybody said, this is 1998. So we need you now. You know, God is... And I got... And they told me that... Then I think about... I'm not sure, but... Because eventually I preached for 11 churches. In 1 week. And you know, remember, that's 25 years ago. As a young man. That's an open door, right? And I went on. Pam, 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 pam. As I got to the airport. And I said, so as I landed, for the first time, and I said, did I ever pray about this? I never did. And interestingly, a friend of mine is a good guy. He's still a very good guy. I knew. The Lord said to me, he said, I didn't ask you to come. Not at this time. You never asked. So you go back to Nigeria. I will open the doors the way I want to open it. Hallelujah. That's what he told me. So I went back to Nigeria. And he asked me, would you come back? I said, no. Sir, you've been a blessing to us. I couldn't explain. I said, no, I'm not coming back. My friend now told me that when I traveled, the Lord told him, see, Shegu is following my plan for his life. I looked at him. Because he was led by the flesh. Opportunities. Today, to the glory of God, the same thing is being done. Amen? The way God opened it. The way he wanted it. Don't say because it's working, it's God. No. Don't. Say, I go for God's best.
I go for God's best.
Now look at something. Numbers 13. So the fact that God is talking to you, he's talking with you. God will keep malice. You know, we have people that will say, if someone doesn't enjoy, stop talking to you, the person will text you, you won't reply. Say, after all, you know, human beings that do that. You know, husband and wife sometimes they do stuff like that. And you say, only what did I do? Nothing. You know, God doesn't do that kind of stuff. In your disobedience, he will still be talking to you. He'll answer your prayers. He'll do all that. That's not a proof that you are in his will. Not at all. So I go for God's best. So I go for God's best. Look at Numbers. Numbers 13. You know, God called Israel and he called them to go to Canaan. He called them. He told them. He said he had given them a land. And they began to wonder. In the wilderness, they had different miracles. He proved it to them, how he is their loving father. Then Numbers says, watch this. And the Lord, now let's read it together, let's go. The Lord spake to Moses, let's go, saying, send thou then, that the men may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel, of every tribe, that you send a man, everyone a ruler among men. Now, it's like saying that, we want to, you know, we want to go and get a place. You know, I've tried to get a property, and you say, oh, there's a property at so and so place. Now, you now say, let's go and check it. Why are you checking it? Because you want to be sure that's what you want. You may not trust the judgment of the person, right? That's why you go to check it. Remember, when God called Abraham, did he send someone to check it? He obeyed. So it was the exact opposite. Now what is thrilling here is God that now told Moses, get me spies. Let them go check what I said. Let them go find out whether it's true. You know, those guys came back eventually and said, yes, we saw it all. The land is there. The land is... However, we are not able. So, but the point is, why did God ask them to go and search it? Was God endorsing unbelief? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 1. I'm closing here. Deuteronomy chapter 1. It wasn't God who asked for it. Because I used to wonder, why would God ask them to go and verify something that he told them? That's unbelief. When I was a younger Christian. But it's Romans chapter 1. Are you in church? Verse 21. Behold, the Lord thy God set the land before thee. Go up and possess it. As the Lord God and Father has said to thee, fear not, neither be destroyed. He had told them, go in and possess it. Look at what he now said. Let's take 22 together. Let's go. And you came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they search out the land and bring us word again by what way we must go up to the cities we shall come. So who asked for it? They did. Did God give in to them? Was that his will? No. And have you noticed that every time God does that, something messy happens? They came back with unbelief. Because unbelief will always produce what? So I go for God's best. I go for his best. I find out his plan. I find out his purpose. Guys, take the study of God's word seriously. Feed your mind on the word. Know his plan. Know how you are led by the Spirit of God. Don't work with whatever works. You are a child of God. You don't walk in darkness. You walk in the light of God. Be blessed this morning. Let's stand to our feet. Bless God.
You lead.